Kia ora, I'm Erin Keem and you're listening to Conversations About Closets with my closest 1,000 friends. I started this project to get me through a gloomy Seattle winter, which was hitting me hard. The thing is, I love women. Why not showcase them? Why not call women I've never met, have our first conversation, record it, and turn it into a podcast? So that's what I did. I didn't edit, I still don't. Some days I'm on fire, some days not so much, and sometimes I even forgot to ask questions about closets. But all my guests are amazing. Listen up, get to know them, you'll be glad you did. If you want to be a guest on my show, go to erinkeem.com. I'd love to meet you. Aroha for listening. Here's today's episode. Shelley.
Hello. Hey.
Good morning. Hi. You know, I slept in. I said, don't worry, I get up at 5:15. We'll be great. And I just made it.
Well, you know what? I was totally facing it. I was ordering Christmas presents for my kids online. And all of a sudden I saw your message and I thought, oh, wait a minute. I got to get out of shopping mode.
Stay in shopping mode because I want to talk to you about shopping. I want to talk to you about all kinds of things. But first of all, would you introduce yourself and tell us about Homeroom?
Sure. Well, I'm Shelley Lear. And once I got divorced a few years ago, I plugged in my maiden name. So I go by Shelley Miller Lear. And Homeroom is a brick and mortar space that I started to teach upholstery classes. I had been teaching my basement at my house and I outgrew that space. So I knew someone who had some commercial space and he offered it to me at a really great deal. And the beauty of this is it's one of the few things that improved in my life over time because the property was kind of run down. It was kind of in a warehousey area and it's become really very trendy and retail. And so it's gotten a lot more foot traffic and it's a fabulous space with about almost 2,000 square feet. And in that space, I teach, and not only teach upholstery, but I teach other classes and it's mostly women. And we concentrate on the home and home furnishings. So we might do a pillow class or a cushion class, or they might make some piece of wall art or decor or something. So it's centered around home.
Now you're in Indianapolis and you are in SoBro. What's SoBro?
SoBro is a nickname they gave to, it's South Broad Ripple. And Broad Ripple has always been this, it's a little village, you know, it's like a college village. And even when I was growing up here, it was a quaint little area. And so it's been, you know, it's gone through a lot of iterations, but now they've tagged it with that name SoBro to be, you know, like Soho and all that in New York.
I love it. I've been on your Homeroom website. Are you still offering brick and mortar classes given what's going on?
Well, in October, I did have one of my boot camps. So I do 3-day upholstery boot camps. But since then, I've just had they are former students. They come in and work with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I just take two or three of them. And it's not really monetarily doing the job, but it keeps people coming in.
But I've been online as well, and you have pivoted. You've been incredibly resourceful because you are a creativity advocate. I got that off your Facebook page. Love it.
That's right.
And you offer classes and workshops, and I see one here that's called Emotional Rescue.
So that was every time I do a boot camp, I give it a name. Like if it's in late July or August, I call it the Dog Days of Summer. So I always give them a little nickname. And so I did Emotional Rescue for two reasons. One, because we needed an emotional rescue, but also because these classes are so, they're just so therapeutic. And I'm having a hard time really getting the right words to attach to that. But I've watched the women who come through there on the 3-day classes. And it's, I mean, I don't want to over exaggerate this, but it's transformative. They come in and they're stressed out. Most of them have professional jobs, and they get, I don't know, they get away from their regular life and they start using their hands and they're working on these chairs. And then they make friends with the new group. And by the time they leave, they're just so extremely, they're so much better off than they were than when they walked in. So that is how I have sort of the base of my business is shifting a little bit, because I really truly believe that creativity is one thing that can be a piece of the wellness puzzle.
It absolutely can.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm over talking you, because I was just thinking, you not only restore furniture, you're restoring this woman at the same time. To take something that may have been broken or may have been abandoned or neglected, and then to transform it into something beautiful. I mean, you couldn't get much more metaphorical than that.
Well, I would agree with you. And I have written that out so many times, because it's like doing the chair. It's so perfect. You take off the old ripped up tattered stuff, and you do the repair down deep, and you start building it back up with strong materials. And it's like, yeah, this is it. That's going to be my signature online course. I have it just in its practical sense, but I'm going to add the sort of the coaching, or personal transformation aspect to it. I'm so happy that you understood that.
Completely and utterly. I'm seeing a book tour and I'm seeing a TED talk, How Restoring Furniture Restored Souls.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
And you're obviously very creative in the way you word it. But now this is an absolutely, what a healing thing that you offer, along with the fact that what I do is I help women transform their wardrobe. So when a woman looks and feels great, you know, the way she carries herself, the way she walks into a room, the way she interacts with people, the way she is able to set boundaries, the way she's able to progress. So you're rebuilding. You're also doing such a beautiful journey of rebuilding. It makes me want to go out and find a broken chair just so I've got something to restore.
Well, you know, I was just want to say, I think you're like the wardrobe thing is it's spot on as well. It transforms you from wearing your PJs all day long into taking a shower and getting spruced up. It's amazing.
And to see the tangible result, be actually able to walk away. Your woman can walk away with a beautiful piece of furniture that they created themselves from scratch, and it was meditative, and they were able to block out the rest of the world, and they walk away with something beautiful. So that truly is an exceptional experience.
You've got it. You nailed it right there. And you know, the funny thing is that no matter how good or bad of a job they do on it, they're so proud of it. And I feel like that's kind of missing, because women have become such perfectionists, and they say it with pride that they're perfectionists, but it really holds them back in so many ways.
No, I'm all about minimal viable product and improving. You know, every time they do this, they'll get better and better and better. So to walk away with something,
yeah,
thing is, even if it wasn't perfect, it's perfectly imperfect. It's wabi-sabi, you made it yourself. So it is perfect, and your blood, sweat, and tears went into it.
I know, but my question, the question is, and this is just putting it out there, is why are we as women so hard on ourselves that we think before we even learn how to do something, we have to be perfect at it?
That is a thesis and a multiple hour conversation.
Yes, I know. I know. I just, that always, it boggles my mind. Yes.
Because we are perfect. I got a tattoo that says perfect to remind me that I am, we are, it is, all women are. But may I ask you, have this wonderful Find Your Creative Road one-on-one coaching. So if you're interested in life coaching and self-exploration through using a creative road, you can go to Shelley. And that is something she offers. But would you tell us also about self-guided Cheer Up with an exclamation mark?
Cheer up. I mean, well, that's kind of the other.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to spell that because it's so brilliant. It's not just cheer up, which is so terribly British, which I can relate to coming from New Zealand. It's C-H-A-I-R up, cheer up.
Cheer up. Well, so that was, yeah, that, thank you for asking about that. That was my slow move into using that class as a transformation and an uplift. And so I took my, in 2013, I built that course online and I didn't know, I mean, I was just bootstrapping it together. There were no teachables or Thinkific, excuse me. And there were no courses teaching you how, well, there was a course that taught me how to do an online course, but that was my first venture into online courses. And it's 2013. It's still a really good class, but I am getting ready to create this new, you know, a new improved version of it. But do you like that name, Cheer Up? I should maybe stick with that.
I love it. Absolutely. And I'm looking on another page where it says Girls Get So Empowered. And she's done it again. It's SCW. This woman knows how to pump. So are you teaching young women to sew? Girls to sew?
Yes. Yes, so I have had groups of from 9 years old and to 11, 9 to 13, I think they were. And some of them came in for sewing classes and some of them came in for like a basic, very basic tool class to teach them some rudimentary tool usage. And I want to continue that because I think girls need it. They feel, I mean, it's amazing how women feel so strong if they know how to use a basic tool. And I know a lot of women know this already, but there are a lot of women who don't. And I'm also surprised at how many women say they don't know how because their husband never let them have the drill or let them have the power tool. But so I want to show them that this is not scary and they can build things with that. It's all about building, you know, constructive stuff.
And the sewing machine for a long time was the only socially acceptable tool we were allowed to use.
That's right. And I also say sewing is a power tool as well. And, you know, I don't want to get too far away from the girls and women, but it would also be a good idea to teach boys how to sew because I've been reading some articles. I think the New York Times Magazine had an article about men are taking to sewing machines now as well, which way back when men did sew when they were doing industrial things. But, you know, it became very unmasculine to sew, but they can make great stuff.
And that's funny because in my head I have an image of, I think, the Navy. I'm sure in the military they taught their members to sew because you needed to be able to repair and fix things along the way. So
I bet.
So
yeah.
I think it was something that soldiers were actively encouraged to learn. So that's fantastic. Shelley, is it true that somebody drove, you know, one of your volunteers, bless their heart, drove their car in reverse through the window of your shop?
Yes, she was not my volunteer. Across the street from my shop is a shop that does charity flower arrangements. And this woman, I wasn't there. I was not there at the time. This woman was backed in, and all I can imagine is that she had that car in reverse rather than drive, and she hit the accelerator and plowed through one whole side of my shop and hit a water line. So I'm not kidding you. It looked like ground zero in there when I got down there. There was water everywhere. It was a mess. And it took a while to get it fixed back up again. But the first thing people asked me at the time was she drunk? How did she do that? And the truth was, she wasn't hurt. Her car was scratched up a little bit, But I think she just thought she was in drive and she was in reverse.
I love how you framed that, pun intended. Notice I got a pun in there that said basically you called that, you refer to that as rebuilt to last. And if you don't mind me circling back, you said you'd come through a divorce, you were rebuilding yourself, you were rebuilding to last on a lot of different levels.
You are absolutely 100% right. And it's, yeah, I felt a power right then, like that. I didn't get stressed out about that crash through there because I thought I was so lucky. Nobody was in there. You know, no children were in there. No adults were in there. And and I just looked at the whole thing. I stepped back and I looked at it and I thought, this is nothing compared. And of course, that was pre-COVID, but I still thought this is nothing compared to what it could have been. And I just let it go. It was the first time I just like let it roll off of me. And you're right. I was coming through a lot of different hits and it's given me power, but it's also given me excitement and joy to help other people, even if they don't have any dramatic changes, but just to know that they can change.
So you don't have to have somebody drive their car into your shop. You can still find power and joy and make changes in your life. You said it was a proverbial icing on the cake, so it sounds like that was a tough year from you, and you have thrived.
I have really come a long way. I was thinking about this in the last year, even this time last Christmas, and I thought about how I felt scared still that because I had only been divorced a year after 35 years of being married. And I felt scared and I didn't know how I was going to really make it. I knew I would make it. I knew I would survive, but I didn't really know my inner strength. But over the past 12 months, I this whole COVID shutdown and I've done okay. And yeah, I think that we need to look at our lives often and kind of assess and say, yeah, I'm doing really well right here. I still need to work here, but I've done better than I expected here. And give yourself a pat on the back.
I recently wrote a list of everything I'd accomplished this year because I was having one of those gray Seattle days when it was like, what the have I been doing? And I wrote a list. And it was a long list. Now, I encourage every woman who's listening, of which I'm sure the resilience, write a list of everything you accomplished. Because we do forget. Sometimes I think we're so busy, especially if you're a solopreneur or an entrepreneur and you're starting a business, you can get so caught up in it, you forget to count all the wins.
I think that's true. And I also think that we diminish the value of the things we've done. We just think, well, that wasn't that big of a deal. But to someone else looking at it, they think it's a big deal.
Absolutely, completely and utterly. And I encourage you to read your list to somebody else because I did. I read my list to one of my best friends and she applauded.
Oh, that's a great idea.
She did a happy dance. Virtually on the phone. And she applauded. And I needed that. You know, sometimes I need to, we need our own miniature TED talk where we just tell somebody who loves us, hey, this is what I did. It was hard. This is what I learned. And they can stand up and give you an ovation. And you certainly deserve.
Yes, I think that is so important. It's hard, so hard to do, though.
Yeah, it is. But that's why women are so wonderful.
I mean, I don't think it's that hard to make the list. I think it's hard to, once you make it, I think it's hard to ask someone if you can read it to them or they can read it and you can share or be vulnerable with them. Like I have felt this many times, like, you know what? I need a little extra attention or a little extra help. And it's so hard for me to say that without feeling like, oh, you're just sounding like you're just, you know, feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, that's not true. As in, I don't mean to invalidate what you just said. I understand you feel that way, but I'm looking at everything you've achieved. You do not feel sorry for yourself. You deserve a crowd in front of you going whoop, 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 whoop. So I would like...
Oh, you're so
I'm blown away. So I encourage every single woman who ever hears this, call me, tell me what you've achieved, and I will do the Snoopy dance for you. And I will cheer so incredibly loudly. Please do. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, I'm going to get off topic. I know why we're afraid to be vulnerable. There's so much opportunity to be hurt and shamed. But
Yes.
the gift of being seen.
Well, you know,
anyway.
Let me add this, and this is just one of the things that that I struggle with. I have a daughter who is extremely independent and doesn't ask for help, or I mean, she just plows through. I could use her support, and I could use her to say, yes, you're doing a good job. But I'm telling you what, she will not give it to me. I mean, she's there, but she doesn't give me that verbal affirmation. And so with all the reading I've done, I look at that and I go, so what is it about me that I'm so needy that way? And then I thought, well, you know what? I just need that. I'm that kind of a person. I need my loved ones, my family to say, yeah, we're proud of you. You know, you're on the right track or whatever. And for some reason, that relationship between she and I is just, she doesn't like anybody who is that needy. And that's one of my challenges. And I'm really working on that. And I feel like, you know, she doesn't have to, I can't wait for her to change. I've got to figure out my own position with that. And then I'll be
Shelley,
free
you're
of
not
it.
Needy. You're going to the wrong theater to get applause.
Well, that's true. And let me tell you, Erin, that's true. And I understand that, but that's really hard to disconnect from your own child. You know, if it was a friend, that would be what you would call one of those toxic friends. And you could say, I need to not be around them, but this is my own daughter. And it's like, lighten up the relationship with her and not want to need it from her. I do have those moments where I'm okay. I'm self-sufficient, but it always comes back down to that. It's like, because I think it's because actually this is a moment here, a moment of enlightenment. I had that relationship with my own mom, very close, and I don't have it as much with her. And I think that's really the crux of it. So there you go. That's the answer there.
Enlightenment and a 21 minute conversation. It is
so
hard to detach with love. I think the people we are closest to are the ones we look most to for approval. And they don't always have the ability, the skills to actually give us that. So we need to find other people who can be in our corner, who can applaud and who can cheer for us. So please,
how do you detach? What is a good
with love?
Strategy?
Oh gosh, I'm still working on that. Therapy. I've codependency, books on codependency. I'm not saying you need this. I'm saying the books on codependency have helped. Yeah,
I've read all the. I did need them, and I have read them. But like I said, I'm still working on that.
And I've had
relationship
to fill my table up. I have wonderful, wonderful. My sister is my best friend. My sister is my biggest cheerleader. I could tell her she's the kind of woman that you could say, look, I accidentally killed my husband because, and she'd say, that's fine. I'll be there with a shovel, and in about 20 minutes, and I'm sure you did nothing wrong. You know, she will reframe anything to make me not in the wrong.
So
I
fill love
up your
that
table with women that love you 100% unconditionally, and like me, who look at what you've done and the transformation that you're making in the lives of women and go, wow.
Well, I'm good with that, but I still, you know, we all still have our struggles with you go a few steps up and you take
Isn't
one step back.
Isn't it a roller coaster?
Sometimes.
It is being a solopreneur and an entrepreneur, or even just being a woman, but it is such a roller coaster. Well, it is for me. I don't know about you, but it absolutely is for me.
No, it is absolutely.
You know, all I can say is thank heavens for coffee, and every now and then the sun comes out through the clouds.
Yes.
Detaching with love. Sorry.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Detaching with love is something that I'm working on every single day, and I screw it up on a regular basis. So,
I and it's okay, isn't it, that we mess up and we try something different,
and I'm getting better
that's
at
life.
It. I expect by the time I'm 99, like my grandmother, I'm going to be so at one with the universe, you know.
Totally. And my mom was 92 when she died. She was a free thinker. And I would say that her last 15 years, yeah, she really made a lot of personal progress.
It's amazing to see somebody change who they are at that late in life. That's rare indeed.
When she was kind of doing it all along. She had five kids, and I think it was just overwhelming for her. But, you know, she was always on a positive path. And she was extremely creative, too. I will give her credit. That's where I learned how to take something and turn it into something else. But, yeah, she was always seeking. My middle son would call that she was a seeker. And she was, and
yeah,
that's
it really
a good
is
thing.
Curiosity, creative curiosity. Shelley, I was supposed to ask you something about clothes, and I totally forgot.
Okay. Okay.
So all I'm saying is that, so as a person who does upholstery, you must appreciate, I'm assuming that you appreciate incredible fabrics.
I love fabrics and textiles.
So tell me more about the fabrics and the textiles you love, and are you able to bring them into your own wardrobe?
Yeah, okay. I'm so glad you asked that. So I would say that my ability to put together my outfits or style has improved so much the more I am down at my shop and helping other people choose fabrics. It's like it has sunken in through osmosis or something. But I am able to see when I visualize, let's say, a room setting where you have a chair and a table and some pillows. And then it's like that translates into the same thing as an outfit you put together with patterns and colors. And I don't know whether some people have it and some people don't. I don't think I did have it, but I've slowly learned it. But I will also tell you, I do a lot of shopping at thrift shops for my clothes. And just like in a room at your home, I do some basic pieces that I buy that are good and that will last forever and ever. But then I'll add the smaller pieces that are a lot more fun, that aren't as expensive. And then I can go buy them at a thrift shop because they're pretty much one of a kind by that time. So that's how I have developed. My style still needs developing, but that's how I feel right now. And I feel like it's much more me than it used to be, even 5 years ago, along with this journey I've been on. And I think a lot of women, most women who've done this in life, a lot of things change in your life and you start feeling braver to do things that are like, you know what the heck? I do want to get a tattoo. And, you know, some people would say, I am going to dye my hair pink or whatever. It's like, yeah, what the heck? Do it. So in my clothes, I've become more courageous, I guess. And I'm not extreme at all.
You hit the nail on the head. You've developed it. Being immersed in those incredible fabrics, you've instinctively developed an eye, and it's translated across to your wardrobe. I can completely relate to the fabric. Sometimes I want to throw all my clothes on the floor and just roll around in them.
I agree. And especially if they have some great tactile texture.
Oh, the velvets, the silks, the suedes. And of course, and absolutely, like you said, you find pieces that have got really good bones, and then you add your own flair to them.
Yep.
You intersperse them with pieces that you pick up from elsewhere, and it makes complete sense for you to get them from thrift stores because you restore, you refurbish, you bring back to life, and then you mix them. So, we're not born knowing how to create visual interest with our clothing. We're more interested in creating visual interest by smearing things all over our face. So you have developed your sense of style, and you're still developing.
Well, that's true, but I say it's a great talent that you have to be able to do that. I don't know if I if I wasn't in the business I was in, that I am in, I don't think I had that. I wore pretty matchy-matchy stuff all the time. I didn't know how to mix and match, but this has become like almost like another hobby or something. It's so much fun with my clothes. Some nights I'll just go in there and start pulling stuff out. And I mean, maybe women do this all the time. I never used to do it, but I'll start putting weird things together. I'm like, yeah, I got to remember that outfit. I'm going to wear that. Yeah. So I love style and all that. I just never felt like I was very good at it.
And if you ever want to change fields, it sounds like you'd be a natural stylist. It is immersion. You know, that old thing about teach a woman to fish as opposed to giving her a meal. Well, I teach a woman to find a handbag. I don't hand her a handbag. And you are learning, you're learning those skills that I teach my clients. So well done you.
Oh, wow. Well, well done you. I think that's just, I think having a woman know how to put herself together in an interesting way is, I think it changed, like you said earlier, it changes her whole attitude when she walks out the door.
You are changing the home. You are changing the beloved items that she surrounds herself with, and you are helping to restore women as you restore furniture. Shelley,
well, that's what I'm trying to.
So people know where to find you. They can go to thehomeroomshop.com. What's another way to find you?
I am on Facebook. On Shelley Miller on Facebook, and on Instagram it is home and then underscore room underscore shop. I couldn't get that homeroom shop. I had to get those underscores in there.
I know somebody's got the happy wardrobe. Somebody's got my name. I was highly annoyed about it, especially since they're not being used. So we improvise. Off topic. Shelley, thank you so much. I didn't expect the conversation to go in such a, you really made me think about things I haven't thought about in a while. Thank you so much for being vulnerable. It was an honor and a privilege.
Well, thank you.
I repeat, you call me anytime you want and I will cheer the heck out of you, okay?
All right, same here. Thank you, Erin. I really appreciate it.
It was so much fun. Have a lovely rest of your day. Aroha.